Before delivering a 737 MAX aircraft to a U.S. customer, Boeing must apply to the FAA for a U.S. airworthiness certificate for each aircraft. In so doing, Boeing certifies to the FAA, quote, that the aircraft has been inspected and is airworthy, close quote, meaning, quote, the aircraft conforms to its type design and is in a condition for safe operation, close quote. A Boeing employee makes this certification in reliance on the completeness, accuracy, and truthfulness of the company's build records and the effectiveness of related manufacturing and quality processes. Boeing did not implement additional or sufficient controls concerning the risk that its certifications of airworthiness could be incomplete, inaccurate, false, or fraudulent, and that the aircraft delivered to its customers conforms to its type design and is in a condition of safe operation.
Global companies face unprecedented risks and challenges in today's economy. To mitigate these legal and economic risks, companies are rapidly embracing and elevating the importance of robust ethics and compliance programs to promote positive corporate citizenship. On Corruption, Crime, and Compliance, you'll hear from industry leaders and insiders about how to create effective ethics and compliance programs that will mitigate risks and maximize financial performance. Here's your host, Michael Volkoff.
Hello, everyone. Michael Volkoff here, and we're going to take a deep dive into the Boeing DOJ recent settlement and proposed criminal plea agreement. The Boeing 737 MAX case took another dramatic turn. On July 24th, 2024, the Department of Justice filed with the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Texas a proposed plea agreement with Boeing. The plea agreement, which has been filed under Federal Rule Criminal Procedure 11C1C, requires the court to approve and accept the deal or reject the plea deal, and then tell the parties to renegotiate the terms. It's an either-or type of rule under the Federal Rules of Criminal Procedure. Under the plea agreement, Boeing will plead guilty to the original information filed in 2021 with its deferred prosecution agreement. The proposed resolution has been opposed by families of the victims of the two crashes connected to the 737 MAX case, and they've opposed the plea agreement and general disposition of DOJ's investigation and the prior resolution as insufficient to vindicate the public interest and their rights as victims of Boeing's misconduct. Now, this has started a court proceeding, and the court entered a scheduling order for filing of briefs on the proposed plea agreement. The families of the victims of Lion Air Flight 610 and Ethiopian Airlines Flight 302 and any other person claiming status as a crime victim under the Crime Victims Rights Act, 18 U.S.C. 3771, CVRA for short, must file any motion and supporting brief. DOJ and Boeing then have to file their respective briefs in response, and then the victims' families get to file another brief in response. DOJ previously notified the court via a status report that DOJ and Boeing had reached an agreement in principle on the terms of the proposed plea agreement. Prior to that, on May 14, 2024, DOJ notified the court that Boeing had breached its obligations under the deferred prosecution agreement by failing to design, implement, and enforce a compliance and ethics program to prevent and detect violations of the U.S. fraud laws. And we'll go into the details of factual allegations that support the guilty plea. On December 15th, going back in time, 2023, the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit issued a decision on the mandamus petitions brought by representatives of the victims of the crashes, as well as a foreign airline carrier, Polsky Linie Lotnicze LOT, pursuant to the Crime Victims' Rights Act. The Fifth Circuit affirmed the district court's decision that it could not substantively revise the DPA between the government and Boeing. But the Fifth Circuit clarified that the courts have an ongoing CVRA responsibility and how the statute will guide further proceedings in this case before the district court. Specifically, the Fifth Circuit explained that, quote, if judicial approval is sought to resolve the instant case, the district court has an ongoing obligation to uphold the public interest and apply the CVRA. More specifically, if the government concludes, independent of court supervision, that Boeing has not complied with the DPA, the case will instead proceed to trial or to Rule 11 guilty plea resolution, both assuring CVRA victim protection. On the other hand, if the government assesses that Boeing has complied sufficiently with the DPA's terms and asks the district court to dismiss criminal proceedings, then in passing on any government motion under Rule 48, the court will expect to see the prosecutor recount that the victim has been consulted on the dismissal and what the victim's views were on the matter. Accordingly, the Fifth Circuit denied the petitions without prejudice to new mandamus petitions being filed again at a later date, observing that the district court must uphold crime victims' statutory rights at every stage of the court's criminal proceedings. The case was initiated in January 2021 when a criminal information was filed simultaneously with the DPA. The information charges Boeing with one count of conspiracy to defraud the United States. Now, Boeing admitted to the conspiracy in the DPA that was filed originally. So, as I mentioned, the original case began in January 2021. And it related to a criminal conspiracy to defraud the FAA's Aircraft Evaluation Group, AEG, in connection with the AEG's evaluation of Boeing 737 MAX airplane. As Boeing admitted in court documents, Boeing, through two of its 737 MAX flight technical pilots, deceived the FAA, which evaluated and mandated pilot training requirements for U.S.-based airlines flying the 737 MAX, about the speed range in which a part of the 737 MAX's flight controls called the Maneuvering Characteristic Augmentation System, MCAS. Boeing agreed as part of the DPA then to pay a total of over $2.5 million composed of a criminal monetary penalty of $243.6 million, compensation payments to Boeing 737 MAX airline customers of $1.77 billion, and $500 million fund to compensate the heirs, relatives, and legal beneficiaries of 346 individuals who died in the two Boeing 737 MAX crashes. Now, the DPA required Boeing to set up a claims handling system to distribute the fund and to bear all costs associated with that process. So, DOJ, and let's talk about the plea agreement now, entered into this proposed plea agreement, and it requires a judicial review and a determination of the public interest and the victim's rights under the CVRA. The proposed plea agreement includes a number of interesting features that address appointment of an independent compliance monitor and Boeing's consideration of the impact of Boeing's malfeasance on the victim's families. Consistent with the DPA, Boeing is being required to plead guilty to the previously filed criminal information, one count of conspiracy to defraud the FAA's evaluation of the 737 MAX airplane. By pleading guilty to this charge, Boeing seeks to avoid a trial over its conduct relating to the two airplane crashes. The judge is a district judge, Reed O'Connor, in Fort Worth, Texas, and he must still approve this decision or this plea agreement. The families, like I said before, oppose the plea agreement. Boeing has agreed to pay a fine now as part of this plea agreement of $243.6 million and to invest at least $455 million to strengthen its compliance and safety programs. In reaching this agreement, DOJ cited the following considerations. Boeing's breach of the DPA by failing to design, implement, and enforce a compliance and ethics program. This including, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, failing to integrate its ethics and compliance program and anti-fraud controls into quality and safety functions. B, the seriousness of the offense conduct involving deceit of the FAA airplane evaluation group. C, Boeing's prior efforts to enhance its compliance program through structural and leadership changes, including steps to enhance the independence, capability, and effectiveness of its compliance program. And notwithstanding the state of Boeing's compliance program and the progress of its remediation, the Justice Department found that there were still deficiencies in Boeing's compliance program and the testing thereof, and therefore it required the imposition of an independent compliance monitor for a 3-year term. Boeing has agreed to continue to cooperate, and Boeing has agreed to pay lawful restitution owed to the heirs, relatives, and/or legal beneficiaries of the crash victims. The amount owed will be determined by the court and subject to any timely and proper appeal. Now, the plea agreement includes some other provisions. First, under paragraph 25F, Boeing and DOJ exclude from the district court's jurisdiction any role in the oversight of the independent compliance monitor. This is aimed at avoiding the difficulties and controversies DOJ faced in the Carnival Cruise Lines monitorship, where the court sought to enforce oversight obligations as part of the criminal probation of Carnival when they reoffended or breached the plea agreement in that case. Second, under paragraph 25G, Boeing is required to invest in its compliance, quality, and safety programs $455 million, representing an average annual basis, an increase of approximately 75% above the defendant's previously planned expenditures. Third, under paragraph 25H, Boeing is required to ensure that its board of directors holds a meeting with the crash victim families, should they wish to attend, and their legal representatives within 4 months after the defendant is sentenced. The defendant shall meet and confer with the representatives of the crash victim families in a good faith effort to select a mutually agreeable date and location for the meeting. Fourth, under paragraphs 29 to 37, DOJ sets out terms for the appointment of an independent compliance monitor who will have a term of 3 years. DOJ intends to post a request for proposals by monitor candidates. DOJ will select 6 candidates. Boeing will then have the right to remove one of the 6 candidates. Once DOJ selects a monitor from the remaining 5 candidates, DOJ will file under seal with the court notification of its selection. Families of the victims oppose the plea agreement on a number of grounds. The families claim that the plea agreement does not include an acknowledgement for responsibility for the killing of the passengers, imposes only a minimal penalty of $243.6 million, and should have the court play a more active role in the selection and oversight of a monitor. In addition, the families claim the plea agreement is too restrictive and ties the hand of the court under the Rule 11C1C filing. Further, the families claim that the sentencing guideline calculation is inaccurate since it does not take into account the resulting death of the passengers in the 2 crashes. And finally, the families argue that the plea agreement inappropriately exonerates the Boeing senior executives at the time of the crashes. So Boeing's plea agreement includes 2 separate factual statements. The January 7th, 2021 DPA, which is discussed in a prior podcast episode, and a factual outline of Boeing's breach of the original DPA resulting in this current plea agreement. The most recent factual statement covers Boeing's DPA breach for failure to implement an effective ethics and compliance program that is designed, implemented, and enforced to prevent and detect violations of the U.S. fraud laws throughout its operations. At the core of the conduct, DOJ cites Boeing for its failure to integrate anti-fraud controls into its quality and safety functions. Now, DOJ's enforcement of the DPA to require such integration is an important precedent for companies that face significant safety risks and the need for traditional ethics and compliance functions to design, implement, and test its anti-fraud controls in the area of safety and quality. Such an extension is an important reminder for manufacturing companies, automobile companies, pharmaceutical and medical device, and other industries where consumer safety is a significant risk. At the time of the initial misconduct, and since that time, well, at the original time, Boeing did not have a centralized compliance function. Boeing appointed its first chief compliance officer and established its global compliance function in May of 2020. Despite all of these enhancements, Boeing failed to sufficiently extend its anti-fraud ethics and compliance program over its quality and manufacturing process before the end of the DPA term. As a result, the department determined that Boeing's anti-fraud compliance program still has significant gaps. These deficiencies included failure, 1, to mitigate known manufacturing and quality risks, 2, to implement compliance policies and procedures designed to reduce the prospect of violations of U.S. fraud laws and the company's compliance code, 3, to conduct sufficient anti-fraud oversight of Boeing's quality and safety processes, 4, to implement sufficient controls to address the risk that Boeing's airworthiness certifications to the FAA could be incomplete, inaccurate, false, and/or fraudulent. 5, to implement sufficient controls concerning the risk of incomplete, inaccurate, false, or fraudulent statements in Boeing's manufacturing records. And 6, to develop and adjust compliance policies and procedures on the basis of a periodic risk assessment and update such policies as appropriate to ensure their continued effectiveness. Now, finally, let's talk about where these failures arose with regard to the quality and safety and manufacturing processes. Before delivering a 737 MAX aircraft to a U.S. customer, Boeing must apply to the FAA for a U.S. airworthiness certificate for each aircraft. In so doing, Boeing certifies to the FAA, quote, that the aircraft has been inspected and is airworthy, close quote, meaning, quote, the aircraft conforms to its type design and is in a condition for safe operation, close quote. A Boeing employee makes this certification in reliance on the completeness, accuracy, and truthfulness of the company's build records and the effectiveness of related manufacturing and quality processes. Boeing did not implement additional or sufficient controls concerning the risk that its certifications of airworthiness could be incomplete, inaccurate, false, or fraudulent, and that the aircraft delivered to its customers conforms to its type design and is in a condition of safe operation. So there are various functions that occurred, and we're going to talk about 3 of them, which the Justice Department's factual statement outlines. One is out-of-sequence work. The second is completeness of records, and the third is stamping issues in build records. Boeing's instructions, let's talk about out-of-sequence work first. Boeing's instructions for aircraft assembly require assembly to occur in a particular sequence. When a sequence step is performed inadequately or not completed, it may be discovered and corrected at a later stage. Correction of the inadequate or incomplete work must then be done out of sequence. Out-of-sequence work is more difficult to perform, increases the risk that defects in manufacture will occur, and may require installed parts to be removed and later reinstalled. Between 2021 and 2023, Boeing conducted several safety risk management assessments that identified out-of-sequence work as a risk factor that could cause the delivery of an airworthy or non-conforming aircraft to Boeing's customers. Despite the acknowledgement of this risk, the safety risk management assessments did not sufficiently consider measures to reduce out-of-sequence work. Boeing senior executives prioritized the movement of aircraft through Boeing's factories over reducing out-of-sequence work to ensure production quality. Boeing did not implement sufficient policies or procedures to mitigate the risk posed by out-of-sequence work. Boeing's global compliance function, which is responsible for Boeing's anti-fraud ethics and compliance program, was not involved in the safety risk assessments. Compliance, therefore, did not evaluate fraud risks associated with out-of-sequence work, including the risk of incomplete, inaccurate, false, and/or fraudulent statements to the FAA. Now let's turn to completeness of records. Boeing's airworthiness certifications to the FAA rely on the completeness and accuracy of Boeing's build records and the effectiveness of related manufacture and quality processes. If installed parts are later removed during manufacturing, Boeing policy requires employees to document the removal in certain written records. The creation of a removal record initiates a process to ensure proper reinstallation of the part and record the individuals involved in removal, reinstallation, and reinspection. If a removal record was not completely resolved in Boeing's computer systems, including reinstallation and reinspection, a Boeing employee would not certify an aircraft as airworthy to the FAA. A failure to create a removal record prevents Boeing from verifying that parts are correctly or completely reinstalled and that its certification stating that the plane is airworthy is accurate. This record-keeping failure could also undermine Boeing's processes for effectively responding to, investigating, and remediating potential allegations of violations of the U.S. fraud laws or the company's compliance code. Boeing received numerous reports of incidents of noncompliance with its policy concerning removals throughout the DPA term. In addition, since 2019, the FAA has issued numerous formal or informal actions to Boeing related to Boeing's policy governing removals. Again, compliance was not sufficiently involved in root cause analysis, remediation, or risk mitigation related to this process, notwithstanding the impact non-compliance with Boeing's policy governing removals could have on Boeing's representations regarding its aircraft and record-keeping consequences. Finally, let's turn to stamping issues in build records. Throughout the build process, Boeing mechanics and inspectors affirm or stamp that they have completed work in conformance with requirements. Stamped manufacturing and quality records are important for Boeing's certification to the FAA that an aircraft is airworthy. Boeing relies on those build and quality stamping records to certify to the FAA that an aircraft is airworthy. False statements in Boeing's build records pose a fraud risk because they could undermine the completeness, accuracy, and truthfulness of Boeing's representations and certifications to the FAA regarding its aircraft, among other issues. Boeing received hundreds of reports of stamping noncompliance through its internal reporting channels. Boeing Compliance identified this anti-fraud risk during the DPA term and issued training and communications throughout the company in response to the risk. Despite awareness of stamping noncompliance reports, Boeing did not conduct sufficient testing to evaluate whether its stamping integrity communications and training efforts were effective in practice and stamping issues persisted. In or around April 2024, Boeing disclosed to the fraud section false stamping during the DPA term at the Boeing 787 manufacturing facility in Charleston, South Carolina. The false stamps caused Boeing's quality management systems to reflect that all required steps were complete when they were not. Employees involved in the false stamping did not understand Boeing's stamping policy, were not familiar with its requirements, and were not effectively trained on it. These reported stamping issues highlighted several shortcomings in Boeing's anti-fraud compliance program with respect to stamping integrity. Well, that's an overview of the recent Boeing plea agreement. There will be, as noted, a litigation related to the plea agreement, and the court approval will also occur at some point. So we'll keep tabs on this, but it's an interesting case to follow. And we appreciate your listening today to another episode of Corruption, Crime, and Compliance. Thanks, everybody.
If you enjoyed this episode, the best way to support the show is by subscribing on your favorite listening platform. To learn more and connect with Michael Volkov, go to volkovlaw.com.